Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
When we are talking about the salvation of sinners, the question is it free or is it costly, this salvation? And the answer is, it is both. Justification is free to the sinner because the sinner could never pay the price. That's why it's free, because the sinner could never pay the required price. That's the only way any sinner, That's the reason that it's free, because if it were not free, nobody would ever be saved. There is no sinner who is able to pay the price that is required. You say, well, God could discount the price. Well, I suppose he could have. He could probably have done whatever he wanted to do. And yet, to magnify truth and righteousness as well as mercy, God chose to do it this way, namely, to pay the full price himself and to offer salvation freely to the sinner who will believe on Jesus, because anything else would cheapen the value of salvation. So is it free? Yes. Is it costly? Yes. Justification is free to the sinner because the sinner is unable to pay the price that it is worth, but justification is costly to God. And that's why we read in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace, that's the first part, the free part, the justification part, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that's the costly part, the price of redemption. And it is important that we keep both of these concepts in mind and let them war one with another, so to speak. Let them be in tension in our thinking. Because if we only emphasize the freeness of salvation, we can trivialize it, cheapen it, and even distort it. It is difficult to overemphasize the cost of salvation to God. It's possible to misrepresent the cost to the sinner. It's possible to represent salvation as something that the sinner does pay for or contribute to the cost of, and that would be a terrible misrepresentation. To the sinner, the cost is absolutely free, but to God, the cost is the price of his own son, the death of his own son upon the cross, and that price would probably be impossible to overemphasize. And it is the costly price of salvation which enhances the graciousness of the act. What God gave freely, he gave a tremendous cost. If a millionaire drops a dollar in the Salvation Army kettle in front of Walmart, we are not tremendously impressed. That didn't cost him anything compared to what he has. Now, if someone who obviously is struggling in poverty themselves, or would appear to be from the appearance of the case, hobbles up to that kettle, maybe on crutches, and drops a dollar from a tattered pocketbook into the kettle, we would consider that to be a very generous act, because that person has dropped in something that was costly to them. But for a millionaire to make a contribution that would really be generous, he would have to dish out a whole lot more than a dollar, or $10, or $100, or even $1,000. or $10,000. I don't know where we'd get to the place where we think that it was actually a generous gift, but it would have to get on up there before a millionaire would be deemed generous in his giving, because it's all in comparison with what one has. But when you start talking about sacrificing your own son, there's really not much difference between millionaires and poor people on that one. We love our children. How many of us would be willing to sacrifice our own child in order to benefit somebody else? But that's what God did in salvation, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And I say it again, the costly price of salvation enhances the graciousness of the act. And there are several key words about salvation that are found in the last few verses of Romans chapter 3. And they are the words, number one, justification, number two, redemption, and number three, propitiation. Justification we've dealt with on the broadcast the last couple of days, and so we will take up today the great term redemption. But let me quickly review. The greatness of the benefit of salvation is being justified. Justification is a declaration of righteousness. It is a legal act, a forensic act. It is more than forgiveness. It is more than cleansing. It includes the imputation of the perfect righteousness of Christ legally applied to the sinner's account. Men can pardon guilty criminals, but they cannot justify them. Men can forgive transgressions, but only God can satisfy all of man's responsibilities to the law, past, present, and future. And God does that in justification. His justification is a justification of the unjust, but it is His righteous way of making the unrighteous righteous, legally. Justification is God's righteous way of making the unrighteous righteous, legally. And He does this freely by His grace, free to the sinner, because the sinner has no ability to justify himself. And it is grace from the Father, because that is His nature. He has a gracious nature, a giving nature. God is a giving God. And therefore, we're not surprised to read, being justified freely by His grace. He is a gracious God, infinitely gracious. But let us understand the greatness of the cost. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And now we get to the costly part. For the transaction to be just, and not just merciful or gracious, there must be the payment of a sufficient price. And that's exactly what redemption is. It is a commercial term from the marketplace. Just as justification is a legal term from the courtroom, so redemption is a commercial term from the marketplace, and it means to purchase again, to buy back. It involves a deliverance effected by the payment of the price. We see the picture of this illustrated in the Old Testament, which sets the background for the New Testament doctrine of redemption. The Old Testament had redemption that involved possessions and persons, slaves and others who could be redeemed, who could be bought by the payment of a price. It involved the idea of deliverance, of release, of ransom of slaves, or of soldiers who had been captured in battle, or people who had sold themselves into indentured servitude and would therefore be freed or delivered in the year of Jubilee. There was the concept of the ransom or redemption of the firstborn. You'll find this in Numbers 3, 11 through 13. The firstborn belonged to God because of the redemption of the nation of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And remember, God the life of all the firstborn of the Egyptians, God spared the lives of the firstborn of the Israelites, or all who applied the blood to the doorpost. But God said, therefore, these all now belong to me. I have spared them. I took the lives of the firstborn of the Egyptians, both the sons and the animals of the Egyptians. I slew them. I didn't slay yours, but I claimed them as mine, and now you must redeem them. They belong to me because I spared them, so now you must redeem them. And actually, the redemption was carried out by exchanging the Levites for the firstborn. You'll find all this in the Old Testament. And God said, okay, I tell you what, we'll make a swap. The firstborn all belong to me, but rather than my taking the firstborn for myself, I'll exchange the Levites. I'll make the Levites my special servants and let them serve me in the temple, tabernacle first and then temple, and that will be the exchange. Instead of taking all of your firstborn to serve me in the temple, I'll take all the Levites to serve me in the temple. And then there was even 273 extras, firstborn sons, more than there were Levites, and so the redemption price for those was set at 5 shekels. And all of this just simply to illustrate the concept of redemption, the freeing by the paying of a price. That's the backdrop of this great word redemption found in the New Testament. And so being justified freely by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, a satisfactory price had to be paid that was equal to the situation. What is the value of a soul? What is the value of the guilt, the infraction of sinners against the holy God? Well, I don't know how we would ever calculate that, but God has. He's told us what the value is. The value is the life of His own dear Son, not just any Son, but the infinite Son of God. That's what makes His life so exceedingly valuable. That's what makes His life valuable enough to exchange for the lives of all the sinners who trust in Him. Not just one for one exchange, but one who is of infinite value for all of these who are of finite value. And you add up all the finite sinners in the world, and their value doesn't total the infinite value of the eternal Son of God. And so the cost is beyond calculation, but that was the price of redemption. If God is going to redeem guilty sinners, then He's going to do it by the payment of a price, and that is the most costly price that we could ever imagine. And that's why we sing, I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. And that's the truth of redemption. That's the wonderful grace of God. That's the willingness of God to pay the infinite price in order that sinners, guilty, vile, condemned, might be freed by the paying of a just price, that God might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Thank God. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.